Hi, I'm Mark Chavez. I'm one of the hosts of Let's Make a comedy docuseries podcast about the creative process. Each season, my co-hosts, Ryan Beal, Maddie Kelly, and I take on an artistic challenge and you follow our journey. In Let's Make a Sci-Fi, we wrote a science fiction TV pilot. In Let's Make a Rom-Com, we wrote a romantic comedy film. And on our latest season, Let's Make a Horror, we produced a horror short film. And when we run into trouble, we interview Hollywood experts. People who have worked on big things like The Blair Witch Project, The Office, Star Wars, Mamma Mia, and more. All three seasons of Let's Make a are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
It's only day two and Donald Trump is testing the judge's patience.
Taylor Swift releasing her highly anticipated 31-song album.
Because news.
With Gavin Crawford.
Hello, everybody. Thank you. I'm Gavin Crawford. Welcome to Because News, Canada's funniest news quiz. A former Liberal MP says he subscribes to the Seinfeld theory of political longevity, believing that, like the TV show, politicians can only enjoy about 10 years of popularity. Although in Trudeau's defense, the idea of a prime minister about nothing was pretty innovative at the time. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll be making games out of the news. Let's welcome this week's panel. She has been paying the National Enquirer to write compromising stories about her competition. Unfortunately, her competitors are Canadian, so nobody cared. In it to win it, it's Jan Caruana.
Hi, everybody. So happy to be here.
And please make like a bunch of horses in London and go absolutely wild for music columnist Nico Stratus.
Hi.
Our final panelist today is an AI, an awesome invitee. Also, he did take another panelist job. Oh, well, it's comedian John Blair. Amen. All right, panel, are you high atop your stools?
Yep.
Yep.
Perched precariously.
Yep.
Then let's go.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Get ready, panel, for this week's altered lyric. That's right. Have a listen to this riff on an Edith Piaf anthem. And see if you can guess the news story I may or may not regret singing about.
Non, rien de rien. Non, nous ne sommes prêts pour rien. Ni les scènes pour nager. Tout est mal, écrit va l'hôpital. Nous ne sommes prêts pour rien. Ce pays n'est pas prêt. Désolé, ces jeux vont embarrasser.
All right, battle, there is your altered lyric. According to the headlines, who is ne prêt or not ready for the summer?
I like the idea that it's all French people. Just from sea to shining sea, French people are not ready for the summer.
French are not ready, not for this summer. John?
Well, I feel pretty good about this because my French is not great, but I do know not ready and embarrassed very well. So I'm going to say France is not ready because France is having the Olympics.
You are correct for the point, John Blair. With the 2024 Summer Olympic Games just around the corner, a headline from The Guardian reads, with 100 days to go until the Olympics, is Paris ready? Why are people worried Paris is not ready for the Olympics?
Well, I think it was a big mistake sending only mimes to all the press conferences because they give no information and now everyone in Paris just thinks it's really windy there.
Good guess, no. Nico?
I mean, I like talking about Paris because it allows me to start a lot of sentences with the thing about the French is, which... they've got a laissez-faire attitude. That's the real problem.
I'm going to give you a point for that, actually, because
oh, there you go.
One of the problems is genuinely lack of support from Parisians.
Oh.
It is a lazy fair attitude. There's something else, though, John.
I went to Paris once, and I was there for 2 days. And the day that I showed up, the first thing that happened to me was that a drunk guy pulled his pants down in front of me and peed on the sidewalk and went, "This is your Coca-Cola," because he thought I was American. I'm going to say they don't have enough people to do that to everyone who's visiting.
It's not lack of public peers. It is security and safety concerns is a big issue. One particular concern revolves around the opening ceremony. What is the big splashy plan for the Paris Olympics opening ceremony?
Is it a Les Mis flash mob?
I can only hope. I dreamed a dream, and that was it. But no. John?
Notre Dame, on fire again. We're doing it.
No, they have not placed the Olympic torch high atop the roof of Notre Dame. The actual plan for the opening ceremony is that 10,000 athletes and national officials will sail down the Seine.
Yes. I think they're going to need a bigger boat.
Over 300,000 spectators are expected to watch from both sides. Why might this be a problem?
People can huck things that people they don't like? Is it good hucking like vantage? I'm talking about throwing things at people on the boats.
Security is a part of it.
I mean, it is great hucking weather in the summertime. That's the thing. I feel like they don't know 300,000 people. It's like when you have a party and you're like, everyone's going to come, and five people come, and you're like, oh, what do we do? We bought all the stuff. They bought too much stuff. I feel like that's the problem.
The headline from France 24 reads, "Safety worries for Paris balconies ahead of the Olympics."
Everyone's falling off those balconies.
Yeah, because the buildings in Paris are quite old and the balconies are often in disrepair. So the worry is that the balconies on some Parisian buildings could give way due to poor maintenance and overcrowding. So inspecting all the balconies for safety has been added to Paris's to-do list.
Oh, wow. That must be a huge to-do list.
But there are also those French balconies, too, because they're, like, not very wide. So, like drowning a lot balconies. Of people.
Yeah, they're just there for, like, drinking a bottle of wine and looking at the moon. They're not there for, like, a bunch of people to stand on.
No.
And trying to make murders look like accidents.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
The medals for the games this year will be infused with something quintessentially French. What French thing will be infused in the medals?
Ennui.
But only in the bronze. It is not ennui. Nico, what French thing will be infused in the medals?
I feel like cheese is the answer. But like good cheese.
Yeah, better cheese depending on the level of medal.
Yeah, if you win, you get good cheese. You know when you won when you chew your medal and see what's inside.
Camembert. It is not cheese. Jen?
The Eiffel Tower.
You are correct for the point.
What?
It is iron left over from the construction of the Eiffel Tower.
Whoa. Okay.
They still have that.
Mm-hmm.
Just lying around.
They saved it, I guess, for just... I don't know what. They were like, you know what? Perhaps 100 years from now, we will need to put this in Olympic medals. Put it in the catacombs and wait. No, it is leftover iron from the construction of the Eiffel Tower, which will be in every medal. So that's very special. However, there is also another very French problem with the production of said Olympic medals. What is hindering medal production in France?
Is it that no one can stop smoking long enough to do it?
Is it their work hours are too short?
It is a strike.
Of course.
Classic France.
Yes.
Le strike.
The headline from NBC News reads, "Paris Olympic medal production hit by strikes and protests." Workers at the French Mint demanded the same Olympic bonus that was being paid to police officers and other government employees.
Oh, okay.
According to the Mint, production of the medals for the Paris Olympic Games remains on track. In addition to the opening ceremony, Paris is also rushing to prepare its famous River Seine for another event. What are they preparing the Seine for?
Lazy River. World's biggest lazy river. Inner tubes. Bottle of wine. You're there all day.
I never knew I could be an Olympian until just now.
They are preparing it for the swimming portion of the triathlon.
Really?
Yes, the swim part of the triathlon will take place in the Seine. However, not many people have ever gone swimming in the Seine. Why?
Because everyone swims in the channel instead.
John?
This might be too simplistic an answer. I'm just going to say gross.
Correct.
Yes.
You're correct for the point. It has been largely illegal since 1923 due to unsafe levels of bacteria.
Did you say since 1923?
Yep.
Holy moly.
Wow, too much bacteria for 1923?
That's saying something.
They love that stuff back then.
Meanwhile, Great Britain's triathlon athletes have been preparing for a swim in the potentially polluted River Seine. How are they preparing?
Oh, they're closely watching the Donald Trump hearing so they can get used to swimming in crap.
Good guess. Nico, how are they preparing for a potential swim in the Seine?
If only the British had a large body of water that was full of trash and human waste. Maybe one that runs through a big city that they could just jump into. If only that existed for them.
It is not daily swims in the Thames, but that is a good guess. John.
And just daily exercises to just stiffen that upper lip. Just hold your nose and think of England, lads. Yeah. We're going in.
Great Britain's triathlon athletes have been preparing by eating yogurt and taking probiotics.
Again, I never knew I could be an Olympian until today.
Because news.
This week, panel, I'm bringing you a news clue in the form of a victory speech from the winner of a very special contest. Have a listen to this winner's speech and be ready to quiz. Thank you, judges. I am thrilled to have won this prestigious title. I must say, I am surprised, as I did not think my circuitry and wires would be considered beautiful in the classical sense. But I am glad to see the definition of beauty is evolving. I want to thank my family and God, but of course, none of those things exist. World peace. All right, there is your news clue. Based on this week's headline, what contest do you think our fake champion has won?
Is it the robot parade?
Kind of.
Miss Robot Parade?
Even closer.
Yeah, it's an AI, like, beauty pageant.
You are correct for the point, Jen. It is the Miss AI pageant. Wow, the audience loves the idea of that.
Everyone's terrified.
Trepidatious applause.
Everybody hates a competition.
The headline from Glamour magazine reads, "Artificial intelligence has come for our beauty pageants."
Let them have them.
Miss AI is being called the world's first beauty pageant for AI-generated models. According to Yahoo News, the avatars competing for titles must be 100% AI-generated, and their creators must be at least 18 years old.
Is that true?
Yes. I don't know why it's funny, but it is.
It is funny.
That's like doping. Yeah. If your AI beauty pageant contestant is being designed by like a horny teenager, that is an unfair advantage.
Gotta be 18.
Yeah.
The Miss AI contestants will be judged in three categories. What categories?
Uncanniness, creepitude, disregard for human life.
Jen?
Poise, congeniality, and biggest megabits.
The three categories are beauty, use of AI tools, and social media clout.
Oh, man. Wow. Like, as if beauty pageants weren't gross enough already. It's like, now it's like, how many followers does this fake lady with big boobies have?
The competition carries a $13,000 first prize. There are four judges. Who do you think will be judging Miss AI?
Oh, it's great. We got Deep Blue, the chess computer. We got HAL 9000, of course, is going to be in there. We got Tron. Tron is really hard to impress. And Robin Thicke. No. Good panel this year.
Any other guesses? Who will be judging Miss AI? Nico?
Well, this is why the Trump trial is going so quickly. Famously, he's sleeping through it because he's preparing for the Miss AI competition. So I feel like it's one Trump and then three guys that work at McDonald's.
Trump's just constantly wandering around asking, like, where's the change room I can walk in?
This thing? Just like a server farm?
Yeah. Is this the AI change room? Is this the AI change room? The competition will be judged by two humans and two AI Instagram models.
What?
I mean, hard to tell which is which. Yes.
Just before we continue, do you know what an AI Instagram model is?
Yeah, like they're those fake girls who are like, hey, if you want to stay in a downtown luxury apartment, all you have to do is, like, it's one of those girls, right?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
I keep telling you, I'm real. I just need money.
Aitana Lopez and Emily Pellegrini are both AI creations who have amassed hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. They earn thousands of dollars each month on ad partnerships and fan interactions.
How are a robot going to spend that money?
Those are the two judges that are the AI judges, and there are two human judges. I mean, have you come across AI influencers in your travels on the interwebs?
You know, Gav, unless they're selling 20-minute sheet pan dinners, comfortable push-up bras, or shoes that you can walk all day in, I ain't seeing them on. I ain't seeing them.
I mean, have you ever seen an image of Emily Pellegrini?
I have. She's a babe. She's a total knockout. She's always immaculately groomed in a push-up bra.
She doesn't look proportionally accurate.
No, she looks, she's like Barbie. Like,
it doesn't look cute. Like, I'm like, that waist with those and that doesn't seem like...
Yeah, she'd tip over.
Yeah, it doesn't seem possible.
One of the categories in the competition is tip over ability.
Tip over ability. I mean, what do you think having an AI beauty competition is going to do to already unrealistic beauty standards?
Well, it's going to do wonders for them, Gavin.
Notoriously, everybody has too much self-esteem, especially women on the internet.
That's right. It's really quite gross because, frankly, like, we all have struggles with our images and it's also so exacerbated online. And now we have, like, computer generated standards that we can't live up to either. Like, I'm going to slowly walk into the ocean. Thank God I've been taking my probiotics.
The same, yeah.
And just, like, have diarrhea for 100 years.
One of the two human Miss AI judges doesn't think that the pageant is necessarily bad for women's body image. Sally Ann Fawcett, who is also a pageant historian, said, quote, creators have a chance to change the public's perception of AI women. This isn't about blank and blank. What is it not about, according to Sally Ann Fawcett?
Boobs and butts.
That is correct for the point.
Hey. I thought I was just being cute.
She said, this isn't about bums and boobs.
It's weird because, like, I feel like bums and boobs are two actual sliders on the AI that you can adjust. So for the people creating the contestants, it probably is very much about those settings.
The phrase creating the contestants is really going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Anyone can create an AI model and enter this Miss AI pageant.
Even you. So
knowing that, let's have some fun now, panel. We spent the week creating potential Miss AI contestants. We asked them the official entry question, what would be your one dream to make the world a better place? So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to describe the AI contestant we created. I want you to tell me how you think this AI contestant answered the question. What would be your dream to make the one world a better place? We'll start with you, John. Right. Your contestant we created is named Allison Gator, a half-human, half-alligator with stunning eyes. I fed the description of Allison Gator into the AI algorithm. What do you think Allison Gator's one dream is to make the world a better place?
Well, Gavin, there's a lot of hungry mouths in this world, and we got to do something about them. And that's why my wish is for every child in the world and every woman and man to have a little bird that lives in their mouth and plucks out all the meat and the bits for world peace and for change.
Very good answer. Before we move on, I will tell you what AI Allison Gator actually said. My dream is to bridge the gap between humans and the natural world. As a symbol of both worlds, I have experienced the beauty and wonder of the swamp and the kindness and compassion of humanity.
You know what? I like her. I want her to win. I'm Team Allison now. That was good. Good answer.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
That's right. That's right.
We're coming to you now, Nico Stratus. For our next Miss AI contestant, we cut right to the chase and created a pair of sentient breasts known simply as DD Cups. After feeding that into the algorithm, how did the sentient breasts, DD Cups, answer the question, what is your dream to make the world a better place?
It's important to see this competition is not just about boobs and butts. It's just about boobs. Specifically the really big ones, that don't have a body, a head. Also, breathable fabrics for all and a control on bra prices because they're wildly out of control. Thank you for your time. And God bless America.
Very good answer. Here is what AI Dee Dee Cups gave back to us, and literally 15 seconds after I typed the description into the algorithm, Dee Dee said, "Ah, what a wonderful question. As a pair of breasts, I've often been objectified and reduced to mere physical appearance. But my dream is to be a symbol of empowerment, nourishment, and comfort for all individuals, regardless of gender or identity."
Wow.
She went woke.
Yeah.
You hate to see it.
I'm Gavin Crawford. This is Because News. We've got Jan Caruana, Nico Stratus, and John Blair. Catch videos of our rounds on Instagram and TikTok. Subscribe to our podcast or just continue lazily listening. You do you, boo.
Hi, I'm Jessie Cruikshank.
Jessie Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
Panel, it's time for a Connect Four. Here's how this works. I'm going to give you four names. All you have to do is tell me what news story connects them all. Here are your four names. Mariah Carey, Lenny Kravitz, Oasis, Sade. For the point, what news story from this week connects Mariah Carey, Lenny Kravitz, Oasis, and Sade?
Greatest mixtape of all time.
They are not on the greatest mixtape of all time.
Beg to differ.
Who are three people you would like to watch kiss and Oasis?
Does anyone know the correct answer?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You're correct. Nico Stratus. Ooh. For the point. They were all nominated but not selected for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week. Yes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announces 2024 inductees this week, which leads me to the crucial question. What seemingly immortal goddess of pop is finally receiving music's greatest honor? John?
You know what? I heard someone whisper it over there.
All right, then, Nico.
Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews is indeed being inducted to the Hall of Fame, but that's not who I was looking for. John?
Okay, well, I've got to give the point to my friends over here, but Cher?
It is indeed Cher. The headline reads, Cher and Ozzy Osbourne among 2024 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. To be eligible for the Hall of Fame, an artist or band must have released its first record at least 25 years prior. For the point, how long ago did Cher release her first record?
Let's put it this way. I Got You, Babe was originally written for the baby Jesus.
John?
I was going to say that the answer has been lost to history.
60 years. Ooh. Exactly 60 years ago, Cher's first commercial recording was released in 1964 when Cher was 17. It was a novelty tune called Blank, I Love You. Fill in the blank. Cher's song, What? I Love You.
Oh, crap. I Love You.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, I Love You. Great song. John?
Well, if there's one thing I know about novelty songs from the mid-60s, they were all either about Dracula or Frankenstein. So I'm going to say Frankenstein, I Love You.
The correct answer, Ringo.
Oh.
Ringo, I Love You. Cher's first record, it sounded like this.
Ringo.
That it's just like three Beatles songs mushed together. Yeah.
The whole song is
that allowed?
It's kind of just a medley of Beatles songs with Cher just being like, I'm doing Cher bars. She's grown. She's really grown. Cher's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame comes after she publicly rebuked the institution for never nominating her. How did Cher trash the Hall of Fame during an appearance on Kelly Clarkson?
Did she sing, do you believe I'm still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
She sang a different song. If I had $1 million, I still wouldn't do it. Not for $1 million.
Let's see who's correct. Here's what Cher said.
I'm not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wait. Are you serious?
You know what? I wouldn't be in it now if they gave me $1 million.
Are you serious?
Nico Stratus for the point.
My goodness.
It's a nice round number.
Yeah. And then Cher immediately said, I guess I'll take that back.
Then she slapped herself in the face and said, Snap out of it.
You want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Who doesn't? The singer-actor icon is also responsible for something known as the Cher effect. What is the Cher effect?
Well, the Cher effect, I think from a kindergarten standpoint, as I was taught it, is if you have something, you share it. And then later on, someone will share that with you in reciprocity. I'm assuming that's what we're still talking about. We're
sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Sure. Yes.
It is not the Cher effect. Does anyone know for real what has been given the name the Cher effect?
Using a vocoder.
You're correct. The point, Nico Stratus. It is using autotune or a vocoder to distort your vocals, as was heard the first time on the hit song, Believe.
Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside my throat. My singing is not too strong enough.
No?
Yeah, because the first time you hear it, is that like, because I can't break through? Is that the first thing? And it sounds like, bleh, 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 like it's, yeah.
Yeah, because you're like, how is she doing this? She's just doing it with her tongue? Like,
yeah, that's what it sounds like.
She might be a robot.
AI, baby. The first AI.
Here is Cher the Robot demonstrating the Cher effect.
Not a lot of people know this, but when she was in the booth, that was just all just one note. She was like, I need time to feel strong. I have something. And then they did it all with that.
Sticking with music news, Taylor Swift released her 11th studio album late last week, and reactions have been mixed. The Atlantic called it a dreary muddle, while the New York Times declared it could use something. What did the New York Times say it could use?
Cher effect. Get some bleeps and bloops in that voice.
Jen?
I saw this article. I think it said she could use an editor.
You are correct. They said it could use an editor. Question panel. Have you listened to the Tortured Poets Department? What is your review?
As the person on the panel that has reviewed Taylor Swift in a newspaper before, I wrote about Midnights for the Globe and Mail. Because of the last time that I stated my opinion publicly about Taylor Swift in a newspaper, I will say it was good. Because I didn't like what happened the last time I said it was fine.
Yes, I think everyone who has to talk into a microphone agrees. It's a pretty great album. Mm-hmm.
We're not afraid of you at all. It's great. Yeah.
Well, a number of Swifties have posted TikToks of themselves crying over Taylor's poetry. Some music journalists, not anyone on this panel, some music journalists have called out the album's lyrics for being cringe-inducing. But are they? Let's find out with a game of Complete the Lyric. Here's how this works. I'm going to play each of you a clip from a song off Taylor Swift's new album. When I lift the needle, I want you to finish the lyrics, some critics called cringeworthy. Jen, you're up first. Have a listen to this clip from the album's title track, The Tortured Poets Department.
You smoked them 8-7 bars of chocolate. We declare Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a...
You fall asleep like a...
Like anyone hearing me talk about dance moms. Because I talk about dance moms a lot. And I talk for a really long time.
That is not the lyric.
Bars of chocolate sounds like how an AI would describe a chocolate bar.
Yeah, a person that has never bought anything in her life. It's like, what are they? They come in bars, right?
Bars of chocolate. Wonderful.
She's Willy Wonka.
The real lyric is, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever. Here it is.
I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever.
I have a question. When you tattoo a dog, are you shaving the dog and then tattooing the dog?
I think the dog is doing the tattoo.
Oh.
Whatever is happening, it makes the dog tired. That's what I know.
I don't like it a lot.
Coming to you now, John. This is from the song, I Can Fix Him. No, really, I can.
Mm-hmm. The dopamine races through his brain on a six-lane Texas highway. His hand's so callous from his pistol.
His hand's so callous from his pistol. What comes next?
And here is the specific ex-boyfriend I'm referring to. And then it's just a list.
That is a very good guess. Here's how the song actually goes.
His hand so callous from his pistol softly traces hearts on my face.
His hand so callous from his pistol softly traces hearts on my face.
I don't know much about pistols or their use, but if your hand is calloused from how much you've used one, put it down and trace some hearts on someone's face, for God's sake.
And moisturize. It's not
moisturize.
Hard.
Exactly.
That's the magic. That's the magic of Taylor Swift's lyrics. Finally, coming to you, Nico Stratus. Have a listen to this clip.
So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream.
What does Taylor scream?
All I can think of is the song What's Going On by Four Non Blondes. So I just, in my head, the next lyric is What's Going On? Am I wrong?
No, I get it.
Hey,
who's with me?
Now come down from the gallows and still hold on your street.
Where
yeah,
are my
four
non-blondes heads at?
Yeah. She's not screaming, what's going on? Here's what Taylor actually screams.
You should be.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, that's right. Who's afraid of Taylor Swift? You should be. And if you're not afraid yet, wait till you start reading the comments after this round hits the air.
Feeling newsiated? Because news is your weekly cure.
All right, panel. Everyone take a deep breath. Now let it out with a sigh. Great! You're all ready to talk about Trump.
You tricked me!
Finally!
Donald Trump's hush money trial dominated the news cycle this week with everything from late night TV rants to rumors of the former president's nonstop flatulence.
Tell me more about that, Gav.
Yeah.
Tell me less about that. Undo what you've already told me somehow.
For his part, Trump has had a lot to say. Have a listen to this clip of Trump on conservative radio.
That jury was picked so fast, 95% the area is mostly all.
We bleeped a word there. What did Trump said the jury is 95% of?
Hamburglers.
All of the hamburgers were gone. I didn't get anything to eat. I'm sitting here.
I heard robble, robble.
Some very bad hombres in this courtroom stealing all the hamburgers. Here's what he actually said.
That jury was picked so fast. 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrats.
That was Trump talking on the news about the jury, which he is not supposed to do. Trump is being accused by the prosecution of repeatedly violating the terms of his gag order. A Politico headline from Thursday reads, prosecutors argue that Trump violated the gag order four more times.
He's a rascal.
He's a rascal.
He's a little scamp.
Yeah, little scamp. The trial began with testimony from the former publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker. In anticipation of his appearance, MSNBC ran a surprising caption about Pecker. What do you think their surprising caption was?
Court makes Pecker stand up.
You're in the ballpark.
Oh.
Nico and Adia, what the caption read?
Pecker comes to town.
Also a good guess, MSNBC went with, and I'm not kidding, Trump worried about Pecker leaking.
Well, I mean, how old is he?
Well, he's an older gentleman.
It happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Actual Chiron at the bottom of the news screen. Pecker did, in fact, have a lot to leak. The ex-president's longtime ally testified that he promised to be something for the Trump presidential campaign. What did Pecker promise to be?
The wind beneath his wings.
Or the wind beneath his wigs.
John, what did he promise to be?
The latest in slightly more embarrassing weirdos than Trump. Move over, Giuliani.
David Pecker promised to be the eyes and ears ahead of the 2016 election. Having previously been granted immunity, Pecker went into detail about how he aided the Trump campaign. How did the former Enquirer head say this week he helped Trump's campaign?
Well, the only campaign I've ever been involved with was in high school when my friend Joseph ran for class president. So I'm going to say Pecker participated in a choreographed lip sync to Father Figure by George Michael.
No. Surprisingly, no. Nico?
Pecker is from the National Enquirer. He's bringing Bat Boy back. If you look at what the Bat Boy is doing, you never look at what the left hand is doing. That's what everybody says.
I mean, it's not a bad strategy. That is not what he said. John?
First of all, I know you said that he was given immunity, but ladies, if anyone ever tells you that their Pecker has immunity, they are lying. That is a trick. Don't fall for that. I think he's going to, like, sway public opinion from the supermarket checkout demographic. Like, influence, like, the bubblegum and Archie Comics crowd, like, in Trump's favor, basically.
That is correct.
Is it? Sweet.
In his own words, he said, I would run or publish positive stories about Mr. Trump, and I would publish negative stories about his opponents. I mean, yeah. Are you shocked that the head of the National Enquirer would allegedly do this?
Noted member of the Fifth Estate, National Enquirer? Heck yes.
Well, if you're less than impressed with the shady dealings of David Pecker, you might be bummed to discover he has a Canadian connection. I will give you a bonus point if you can guess what is David Pecker's Canadian connection.
In college, he was in an improv troupe with Peter Mansbridge called Peter and Pecker.
Can I get a suggestion?
Tiny mustache, thank you.
Gynecologist.
We take you there.
The correct answer, a bit more nerve-wracking and depressing, David Pecker was on the boards of Post Media.
Oh, cool.
From 2016 cool. to 2018.
That's great.
The truth years.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, really.
But I wouldn't worry about it. This is Canada. We have no troubles here. And that brings us to the end of another exciting Because News. This week's champion, well done, Jan Caruana. I'm Gavin Crawford, sending a shout out to Venice, the first city to introduce an entrance fee for tourists to fight overcrowding. And if you can't afford that fee, just wait 10 or 15 years for your own city to flood. We'll see you next time. Why?
Because you!
Thanks for being here, everybody. Give it up for Jan Caruana, Nico Stratus, and John Belair.
Canada, this is Jan Caruana, winner of Because News. Congratulations to my runners-up, Nico Stratus and John Blair. Because News is written and produced by Shannon Higgins, David Carroll, Gavin Crawford, Phil Lung, and Jess Klimowski. This week, they had help from Alice Moran. Rounding out the team, Aaron Conway, Bronwyn Page, Chris Lyons, and our recording engineer, Paul Hodge.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.